Chapter 36. All This Knowing. Days passed, and I invited Will and Sim across the river to celebrate our successful campaign against Ambrose. Given my taste for Sauten, I was not much of a drinker, but Will and Sim were kind enough to demonstrate the fine points of the art. We visited several different taverns, just for variety, but eventually we ended up back at the Aeolian. I preferred it because of the music, Simon because of the women, and Willem because it served Scutton. I was moderately well buttered when I was called up onto the stage, but it takes more than a little drink to make me fumble-fingered. Just to prove I was not drunk, I made my way through Whither With He With The Withy, a song that's difficult enough to articulate when sober as a stone. The audience loved it and showed its appreciation in the appropriate way. And since I was not drinking Sauten that night, much of the evening is lost to living memory. The three of us walked the long road back from the Aeolian. There was a crispness to the air that spoke of winter, but the three of us were young and warmed from the inside by many drinks. A breeze pushed my cloak back, and I took a full, happy breath. Then a sudden panic seized me. "Where's my loot?" I asked, more loudly than I'd intended.
"You left it with Stanchion at the Aeolian," Willem said. "He was afraid you would trip over it and break your neck."
Simon had stopped in the middle of the road. I bumped into him, lost my balance, and tumbled to the ground. He hardly seemed to notice.
"Well," he said seriously, "I certainly don't feel up to that right now."
Stonebridge rose ahead of us, 200 feet from end to end, with a high arch that peaked 5 stories above the river. It was part of the great stone road, straight as a nail, flat as a table, and older than God. I knew it weighed more than a mountain. I knew it had a 3-foot parapet running along both its edges. Despite all this knowing, I felt deeply uneasy at the thought of trying to cross it. I climbed unsteadily to my feet. As the three of us examined the bridge, Willem began to lean slowly to one side. I reached out to steady him, and at the same time, Simon laid hold of my arm, though whether to help me or to brace himself, I couldn't be certain.
"I certainly don't feel up to that right now," Simon repeated.
"There's a place to sit over here," Willem said. "Kill a trail, Tren Nevorka."
Simon and I muffled our laughter, and Willem led us through the trees to a little clearing not 50 feet from the foot of the bridge. To my surprise, a tall gray stone stood at the middle of it, pointing skyward. Will entered the clearing with calm familiarity. I came more slowly, looking about curiously. Gray stones are special to troopers, and seeing it gave rise to mixed feelings. Simon flopped down in the thick grass, while Willem settled his back against the trunk of a leaning birch. I moved to the graystone and touched it with my fingertips. It was warm and familiar.
"Don't push at that thing," Simon said nervously. "You'll tip it over."
I laughed.
"This stone has been here for 1,000 years, Sim. I don't think my breathing on it is going to hurt it." "Just come away from it. They're not good things."
"It's a gray stone," I said, giving it a friendly pat. "They mark old roads. If anything, we're safer being next to it. Gray stones mark safe places. Everyone knows that."
Sim shook his head stubbornly. "They're pagan relics."
"A jot says I'm right," I taunted.
"Ha!"
Still on his back, Sim held up a hand. I stepped over to slap it, formalizing our wager.
"We can go to the archives and settle it tomorrow," Sim said.
I sat down next to the graystone and had just started to relax when I was seized by a sudden panic.
"Body of God!" I said. "My loot!"
I tried to jump to my feet and failed, almost managing to knock out my brains against the graystone in the process. Simon tried to sit up and calm me, but the sudden motion was too much for him, and he fell awkwardly onto his side and began to laugh helplessly.
"This isn't funny!" I shouted.
"It's at the Aeolian," Willem said. You have asked about it 4 times since we left.
No, I haven't, I said with more conviction than I really felt. I rubbed my head where I'd knocked it against the graystone.
There is no reason to be ashamed.
Willem waved a hand dismissively.
It is a man's nature to dwell on what sits close to his heart.
I heard Kilvin got a few in him at the taps a couple months ago and wouldn't shut up about his new cold sulfur lamp, Simmons said.
Will snorted. Lauren would rattle on about proper shelving behavior. Grasp by the spine! Grasp by the spine!
He growled and made clutching motions with both hands.
If I hear him say it again, I will grasp his spine.
A flash of memory came to me. Merciful Talu, I said suddenly aghast. Did I sing Tinker Tanner at the Aeolian tonight?
You did, Simmons said. I didn't know it had so many verses.
I wrinkled my forehead, trying desperately to remember.
Did I sing the verse about the Talon and the sheep?
It was not a good verse for polite company.
Nyah,
Willem said.
Thank God, I said.
It was a goat,
Willem managed seriously, before he bubbled up into laughter.
In the Talon's cassock!
Simmons sang, then joined Willem in laughter.
No, no,
I said miserably, resting my head in my hands. My mother used to make my dad sleep under the wagon when he sang that in public. Stanchion will beat me with a stick and take away my pipes next time I see him. They loved it, Simmons reassured me.
I saw Stanchion singing along, Willem added. His nose was a little red by that time, too.
There was a long piece of comfortable quiet.
Quoth?
Simon asked.
Yes?
Are you really a Demaru? The question caught me unprepared. Normally, it would have set me on edge, but at the moment, I didn't know how I felt about it.
Does it matter?
No. I was just wondering.
Oh.
I continued to watch the stars for a while.
Wondering what?
Nothing in particular, he said. Ambrose called you Rue a couple times, but he's called you other insulting things before.
It's not an insult, I said.
I mean, he's called you things that weren't true, Sim said quickly. You don't talk about your family, but you've said things that made me wonder.
He shrugged, still flat on his back, looking up at the stars.
I've never known one of the Edema.
Not well, anyway.
What you hear isn't true, I said. We don't steal children or worship dark gods or anything like that.
I never believed any of that, he said dismissively, then added, but some of the things they say must be true. I've never heard anyone play like you.
It doesn't have anything to do with my being a Demaru, I said, then reconsidered.
Maybe a little.
Do you dance?
Willem asked, seemingly out of the blue. If the comment had come from anyone else, or at a different time, it probably would have started a fight.
That's just how people picture us, playing pipes and fiddles, dancing around our campfires. When we aren't stealing everything that isn't nailed down, of course.
A little bitterness crept into my tone when I said the last.
That's not what being a Demaru is about.
What is it about? Simmons asked. I thought about it for a moment, but my sodden wit wasn't up to the task.
We're just people, really, I said eventually, except we don't stay in one place very long, and everyone hates us.
The three of us watched the stars quietly.
Did she really make him sleep under the wagon?
Simmons asked.
What? You said your mom made your dad sleep under the wagon for singing the verse about the sheep.
Did she really?
It's mostly a figure of speech, I said.
But once she really did. I didn't often think of my early life in my troop, back when my parents were alive. I avoided this subject the same way a cripple learns to keep the weight off an injured leg. But Sim's question brought a memory bubbling to the surface of my mind. It wasn't for singing Tinker Tanner, I found myself saying. It was a song he'd written about her. It was quiet for a long moment. Then I said it. Lorien. It was the first time I'd said my mother's name in years, the first time since she'd been killed. It felt strange in my mouth. Then, without really meaning to, I began to sing. Dark Lorien, Arladin's wife, has a face like the blade of a knife, has a voice like a prickle-brown burr, but can tally a sum like a moneylender. My sweet Tally cannot cook, but she keeps a tidy ledger book. For all her faults, I do confess, it's worth my life to make my wife not Tally a lot less. I felt oddly numb, disconnected from my own body. Strangely, while the memory was sharp, it wasn't painful.
"I can see how that might earn a man a place under the wagon," Willem said gravely.
"It wasn't that," I heard myself saying. "She was beautiful, and they both knew it. They used to tease each other all the time. It was the meter. She hated the awful meter." I never talked about my parents, and referring to them in the past tense felt uncomfortable. Disloyal. Will and Sim weren't surprised by my revelation. Anyone who knew me could tell I had no family. I'd never said anything, but they were good friends. They knew.
"In Aetir, we sleep in the kennels when our wives are angry," Simmons said, nudging the conversation back into safer territory.
"Melosirehu, Idestiti,"
Willem muttered.
"Aeturin!" Simmons shouted, his voice bubbling with amusement. "No more of your donkey talk!"
"Idestiti?" I repeated. "You sleep next to fire?" Willem nodded.
"I am officially protesting how quickly you picked up Ciaru," Sim said, holding up a finger. "I studied a year before I was any good. A year! You gobble it up in a single term."
"I learned a lot growing up," I said. "I was just getting the fine points this term."
"Your accent is better," Will said to Sim. "Quoth sounds like some southern trader. Very low. You sound much more refined."
Sim seemed mollified by that.
"Next to the fire," he repeated.
"Does it seem odd that it's the men that always have to do their sleeping somewhere else?"
"It's pretty obvious women control the bed," I said.
"Not an unpleasant thought," Sim said. "Depending on the woman."
"Distril is pretty," Sim said.
"Kheh,"
Will said.
"Too pale. Fella."
Simon shook his head mournfully.
"Out of our league."
"She's Modagan," Willem said,
his grin so wide it was almost demonic.
"She is?"
Sim asked. Will nodded, wearing the widest smile I'd ever seen on his face. Sim sighed wretchedly.
"It figures. Bad enough that she's the prettiest girl in the Commonwealth. I didn't know she was Modagan, too."
"I'll grant you the prettiest girl on her side of the river," I corrected. "On this side, there's..."
"You've already gone on about your dinner," Will interrupted. "Five times."
"Listen," Simon said, his tone suddenly serious. "You just have to make your move. This Denna girl is obviously interested in you. She hasn't said anything along those lines."
"They never say they're interested."
Simon laughed at the absurdity of it.
"There are little games. It's like a dance."
He held up two hands, making them talk to each other.
"Oh, fancy meeting you here. Why, hello. I was just going to lunch. What a happy coincidence. So was I. Can I carry your books?"
I held up a hand to stop him. "Can we skip to the end of this puppet show where you end up sobbing into your beer for a span of days?" Simmons scowled at me. Willem laughed.
"She has enough men fawning over her," I said. "They come and go like..."
I strained to think of an analogy and failed. "I'd rather be your friend."
You would rather be close to her heart, Willem said, without any particular inflection. You would rather be joyfully held in the circle of her arms, but you fear she will reject you. You fear she would laugh, and you would look the fool. Willem shrugged easily. You are hardly the first to feel this way. There is no shame in it.
That struck uncomfortably close to the mark, and for a long moment, I couldn't think of anything to say in reply. I hope, I admitted quietly. But I don't want to assume. I've seen what happens to the men that assume too much and cling to her.
Willem nodded solemnly.
She bought you that loot case? Sim said helpfully. That has to mean something. But what does it mean? I said. It seems like she's interested, but what if it's just wishful thinking on my part? All those other men must think she's interested too, but they're obviously wrong. What if I'm wrong too?
You'll never know unless you try, Sim said with a bitter edge to his voice.
That's what I'd normally say. But you know what? It doesn't work worth a damn. I chase them, and they kick at me like I'm a dog at the dinner table. I'm tired of trying so hard.
He gave a weary sigh, still flat on his back.
All I want is someone who likes me.
All I want is a clear sign, I said.
I want a magical horse that fits in my pocket, Will said, and a ring of red amber that gives me power over demons, and an endless supply of cake.
There was another moment of comfortable quiet. The wind brushed gently through the trees.
They say the Ru know all the stories in the world, Simmons said after a while.
Probably true, I admitted.
Tell one, he said.
I eyed him narrowly.
Don't look at me like that, he protested. I'm in the mood for a story, that's all.
We are somewhat lacking for entertainment, Willem said.
Fine, fine, let me think.
I closed my eyes, and a story with the Aemir in it bubbled to the surface. Hardly surprising. They had been on my mind constantly since Nina had found me. I sat up straight.
All right.
I took a breath, then paused. If either of you have to go piss, do it now. I don't like having to stop halfway through.
Silence.
Okay. I cleared my throat. There is a place not many folk have seen. A strange place called Faerinial. If you believe the stories, there are two things that make Faerinial unique. First, it is where all the roads in the world meet. Second, it's not a place any man has ever found by searching. It's not a place you travel to. It's the place you pass through while on your way to somewhere else. They say that anyone who travels long enough will come there. This is a story of that place, and of an old man on a long road, and of a long and lonely night without a moon.